What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning in to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jake Golden. Now, make sure to get in touch with the podcast or ask any listener questions. You can go ahead and visit the Instagram at Chi-Town Pod. Visit the Twitter at Chi-Town.Pod. You can Gmail me at ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com, or you can go ahead and visit my hockey-related Instagram account at ShyBlackHawksTalk to send in any listener questions or to get in touch with the podcast. Now, many people lately have been asking about John McDonough and if there is any more news surrounding him. Now, I haven't heard much on John McDonough in the past few days. Given that no one is available to the media, there's no reason for the firing. And for some odd reason, Rocky Wirtz hasn't been talking at all. So fans and other outside sources really have no reason for John McDonough being let go by the franchise. Now, to go and get into some possible replacements from John McDonough, Eddie Olczyk has been contacted by four other teams for a presidential role, so he's obviously in high demand, and teams obviously want Eddie. Being that he is a smart hockey mind, he knows how to run a team, and he's analyzed the game for a very long time now, and he could possibly, if offered, take the job with the Blackhawks, being that it is his hometown. So I personally would actually like to see Eddie take this job, and I personally would have faith in Eddie because, like I said, he's a strong hockey mind. He knows the game. He's analyzed the game. He knows how to run a team. So I would love to see Eddie Olczyk take this job. Now, if the Blackhawks are trying to hire from within, Jay Blunk was hired as McDonough's right-hand man in 2008, so could he possibly be promoted? Or he might also be fired, because given that he was hired to be McDonough's right-hand man, could he only be the business mind also? Is he able to step into that presidency and take over a team like that? Obviously, maybe he could, but if he were to, I would much rather see them hire him as the president for more business operations and then hire a president of hockey operations and go kind of how the Cubs did, where one side handles business and one side handles the other, and they basically leave each other alone. Now, if they're looking to hire from the outside, Bill Zito is the senior vice president of hockey operations for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and he's a former player agent in Chicago, and he's looking like he could take over the driver's seat for a team. So maybe the Blackhawks could go out and explore someone who isn't with the franchise and kind of take a leap of faith. And another person that has been kind of brought up the past couple days and in recent articles would be Mike Gillis. He's the former Vancouver Canucks general manager. And in a statement, he said that he wants to be back in hockey. He would just like it in a higher role. So obviously that would be something above the general manager's position. And when interviewed, he said that he would be interested in the Chicago job. But another possibility, could Danny Wirtz hold the job? Because obviously he's been now with the Blackhawks for quite some time now, since McDonough was hired. He's the current vice president, and he's an alternate governor to the NHL and a Blackhawks representative. So he's now been around the team for quite a while. So is he someone who could take over that president job and really kind of steer the Blackhawks in a different direction to get them winning again? So could he be leading a search that really settles on him? And for that reason, many people who are in the running for this job, such as Mike Gillis, Bill Zito, Eddie Olczyk, even Jay Blunk, they're all kind of holding back and not going out and trying to explore the job too much because they don't really even know if this job exists. Because Rocky isn't talking, so is Danny Wirtz going to stay the president? Or do they already have somebody picked out and they haven't announced him yet? So they really are holding back because they have no idea if this position is even available because nobody's saying anything. And a survey that was held on SecondCityHockey.com shows that fans want an outside hire for president. So obviously that would be someone like Mike Gillis, Bill Zito, Eddie Olczyk. Those guys would be outside hires, not being in a position with the team. Eddie Olczyk, he is a TV analyst for the Blackhawks. However, that isn't exactly a position inside the team or inside the front office of the team. So one of my things with an outside hire is you have to be sure, because if you bring in a guy and it fails, you look like an idiot. Not only for bringing in the guy and failing, but then also for firing John McDonough. So an outside hire, you have to make sure that things are going to go right. Otherwise, you're going to become a laughingstock again. So I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break here on the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. This is your host, Jake Golden. I'll be back with you guys in a few more minutes. Welcome back to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in as always. So now I'm going to go ahead and get into some different news surrounding Corey Crawford, and I will then get into the NHL's proposed lottery plan and Anton Wedin leaving. And then later in the show, we're actually going to have an interview with a Bruins fan to go ahead and discuss how the Bruins have been able to keep a cycle of star players in and out of their lineup and keeping their championship window open the past few years where the Blackhawks have not been able to. All right, so now getting into Corey Crawford, we're going to go ahead and discuss his future with the Blackhawks, and it's really going to take three things, and these three things on the latest episode of the Blackhawks Talk podcast on NBC Sports Chicago, Elliot Friedman, an NHL insider, joined the show, and he pointed out three bullet points that are questions for Crawford coming back. So the first one being, does Corey Crawford want to be back? Does he want to be back in Chicago? Does he want to be back with this team? And do the Hawks want him back? He's 35 years old. And third, there are a lot of good goalies out there. Elliot pointed out that there are even good 1A options out there, such as Anton Khudobin is heading into free agency this year. So there are a lot of good goalies to go ahead and take the place of Corey Crawford if he were to leave during free agency, if the Hawks didn't want him back, or even if he didn't want to be back. But from multiple sources that I've heard, Corey Crawford does want to be back in Chicago. He wants to win another championship here. This is where his whole career has been since 2003 when he was drafted. He wants to stay here in Chicago. And something that Crawford definitely knows, and Stan Bowman definitely knows if he were to be re-signed, is one, he's not coming back for term, and two, it'll have to be on a team-friendly deal due to the fact that the team doesn't know what the cap is going to be at the moment, and it's looking like it's not going to go up, or if it does go up, it'll only go up by a little bit. So the Blackhawks won't have a lot of money to work with, considering they have to re-sign many RFAs, and they have to sign Dominik Kubalik, which is going to be a hefty price. And Dylan Strome, looking like it's going to be $3 to $3.5 million. So already there, you got a decent amount of money that you already have to spend on those two guys. So if Crawford does come back, he's going to have to take a team-friendly deal if he wants to be back here in Chicago. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and move on. The NHL proposed a new lottery plan the other day, saying that it would use points percentage to determine the 15 non-playoff teams in the draft lottery under the current playoff format, and the Blackhawks would be currently at number 9, but any team can only move up as far as 4 places. So the Blackhawks could move up as high as number 5, but no higher in the proposed format for this season, and it will only have one winner and limits the movement up a maximum of 4 spots, like I said. So the Blackhawks would most likely, even if they select at 5, it would most likely be a player who won't make it to the NHL next year, but probably a year or two after, which would slow down the development process of the team. They wouldn't be bringing in a new player to kind of help the team, although they did sign Ian Mitchell and Beaudin, but even then, Beaudin's most likely going to be in Rockford, so you really only have Ian Mitchell coming in. So if they can't move up like they did last year, and what it's showing is they won't be able to pull off what happened last year with this proposed format, so if they can't do that, they won't be able to select a Kirby Dach, who actually helped the team a good bit this past season. They won't be able to do that. So that is going to definitely slow down the development process of the Blackhawks and will probably slow down them getting back to that higher level that they were at by not being able to select higher than 5. All right, now some other news. Anton Wedin has signed with HV71 in Jönköping, Sweden, and Wedin's agent, Michael Deutsch, sorry if I mispronounced that, did not return a request for comment from any sources, and the 27-year-old winger was a useful body to have on the depth chart, and he was actually pretty productive in the American League with 17 points in 31 games, but the Blackhawks aren't really losing much in Wedin leaving. He didn't really provide all that much to the Blackhawks, so it won't really make a difference. And he joins fellow Swedish Hockey League stars Jacob Nielsen and Philip Holm as part of the European contingent that has left the Blackhawks in 2020. So the Blackhawks have constantly had players leave to head back for Europe. And Anton Wedin, he didn't really prove to be a future NHLer, so he probably did himself a favor here by leaving the Blackhawks, because like I said, it didn't really look like he had a future in the NHL. And now it just seems like whenever the Blackhawks find a good European talent to bring over, it always just seems like they always lose one to Europe. They brought Dominic Kubalik over, they lost Philip Holm, and now they've lost Nielsen and Wedin. Now, Nielsen and Wedin aren't going to make too much of a difference, but losing Philip Holm, I think, is going to make a bit of a difference, because you need defense wherever you can get it. You need to develop those young guys so that way your defense can be what it was back when we won the Stanley Cup in 2010, 2013, and 2015, because our defense is no longer what it used to be. So you need to hang on to any defenseman that even provide a promising future, because that is what the Blackhawks need right now. So, like I said, they're not really losing too much in Anton Wedin, but no longer a Blackhawk, didn't really have too much of a future in the NHL, so he's gone. Alright guys, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break here on the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Coming up, we're going to have an interview with a Bruins fan to discuss how the Bruins have been able to keep a cycle of star players in and out of the lineup the past few years, and how the Blackhawks have not been able to do that. All that coming up next. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Golden, and we got a special guest on for you today, Ethan Kahn from Maine. is on to discuss how the Bruins have been able to stay dominant throughout the years while the Blackhawks have not. Welcome on the podcast, Ethan.
Hi, guys. I'm really happy to be here. Excited to talk some hockey.
All right. So something that the Bruins have been able to do is they've been able to sign players for less money and not give out the bad contracts that Stan Bowman has given out. The only contracts that look questionable really are David Krejci at $7.25 million and Tuukka Rask at $7 million. And while both players are getting older, they still provide great depth to the team. And they've been able to have their players buy into the cap, not having to pay them as much money. So what are your thoughts on this, Ethan? How do you think the Bruins have been able to have their players buy into this kind of system that they've worked out?
Yeah, I think having that kind of system within a hockey team is really important. And I actually think it's a pretty common thread within New England teams to kind of have a mentality and a way of running their organization that I think the players really buy into. So I think it really starts from those star players. Like, that first line is obviously, you know, one of the best first lines in hockey and have really carried this team both this year and years in the past. And I think that getting those players on those low money contracts, like, players are excited to come play for Boston, where they'll take contracts that, you know, are both beneficial to the team and to the player, which I think is something that Chicago really hasn't quite figured out.
Yeah, I agree. An example of this would obviously, like you said, the first line, that trio of Pasternak, Marchand, and Bergeron combined for about $18 million, all having contracts under $7 million, while Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane combined for $21 million. So you have that first line trio of three star players there combining for less than two of our star players at $21 million. And Taves, Kane, and Seabrook all have been handed deals that have hamstrung the Hawks cap-wise. And Seabrook being given $6.875 million, I believe, when he's 35 years old, was not a good decision by Stan Bowman. And Patrick Kane, while he is still producing at a great level for 32 years old in the National Hockey League, he's not producing at David Pasternak's level. He's not producing 45 goals in whatever it's been, 60-something games throughout this year before it was paused. And age is catching up to Jonathan Taves, and his contract runs until he's about 35, 36 years old. So they have been able to have Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane buy in, and even Brent Seabrook buy in like the Bruins have been able to. Even though the Blackhawks have won more Stanley Cups than the Boston Bruins throughout the years, they still haven't been able to have those players buy in. And I think another thing that the Bruins have been able to do very well is pick in the draft. In 2015, they selected David Pasternak, which is now on the first line, one of the best players in the league. 40-something goals this year, I believe. They've picked Ryan Donato, Charlie Coyle. They traded with a draft pick. And Danton Heinen, Jake DeBrusk. The list really goes on with the good players that they picked in the draft, which are all going to be beneficial to the team in the next couple of years, keeping the championship window open. How do you think the Bruins have been able to pick these good players in the draft while still being far behind in kind of the 20s and even at pick number 30 last year and still being able to get these players in the draft that are franchise-altering players?
Yeah, I think, you go back to that Pasternak pick and the mid 2010s for the Bruins were kind of in limbo. We were, you know, between coaches, between GMs in 2015. I think those draft picks were really brought in to kind of provide, you know, guys like Pasternak, who, you know, might not produce immediately, but you can see that the production is obviously there now. And I think it's all about drafting guys that, you know, are I think we've drafted guys that, you know, may not have that star potential, but guys like, you know, as you mentioned, Jake DeBrusk and Charlie Coyle, guys that will be NHL ready in a few years. I think that's really important when you're in a team that's, you know, in that period, we were, you know, trying to go for a cup, but also at the same time, we were really struggling to kind of pull it together. And those were some rough years for the team. And I think those draft picks really kind of set us off in the right direction for sure.
Yeah, because I believe you guys missed the playoffs in 2016, but since then, and then even before then, you guys have been dominant. So it's really just that kind of period from, you said, 2015 up to 2017 when the coaching change was made and Claude Julien was taken out of his role as head coach. They kind of retooled the team a little bit, and it's proved that it worked. They made it to the Cup final last year, losing in 7 games to the Blues. And the Blackhawks haven't been able to do that. And like you pointed out in the draft, they've selected many good players, franchise-altering players such as David Pastrnak, picked at number 25, producing at a rate even better than Patrick Kane, who was picked at number 1 in 2007. Now, 2007 is obviously a different period of time when you look at hockey and the development of hockey, but still, he was picked later in the draft. Pastrnak today, like, you could think that he was picked at number 1. And the Blackhawks have been good at the draft, but they haven't been great. And the Bruins have been great. The Blackhawks haven't selected franchise-altering slash leading players like the Bruins. Stan Bowman has picked Brandon Saad. He's picked Andrew Shaw, even Brian Bickell. Still good players, but not franchise-altering players like Ryan Donato, Charlie Coyle, David Pastrnak, Jake DeBrusk. Jake DeBrusk, in a couple of years, could become a first-line
Yeah,
player. He really
I'm a
could.
big fan of Jake DeBrusk and Charlie Coyle for sure.
Yeah, and then something you also pointed out was the coaching change. So that's something I want to get into now, is something that was big with the retooling of the Boston Bruins is the coaching change was successful. Bruce Cassidy came in as an experienced coach, coaching since 2003, I believe. And he's a former player who spent multiple years in the AHL with the Providence Bruins, getting to understand those players before they went up to the NHL. So therefore, he already had relationships with most of the players that are up there in the NHL, which is certainly something that's helpful. And Jeremy Colliton spent 1 year in Rockford, and he's already proved as no replacement for the legendary Coach Q, which really nobody is going to prove as a replacement for Coach Q, except for Scotty Bowman. I mean, Coach Q is the second winningest coach of all time. No one can really replace him. But you look at the options that were available when they fired him. Alain Vigneault is someone I look at who came in. The Flyers sucked last year. They did. And he came in, and now it's looking like they could take first place in the Metro away from the Washington Capitals for the first time in what, like five,
No,
seven years about?
the Caps have definitely had a chokehold on that division, but I think what Philly's done has been really, really impressive.
Yeah, and the coaching change there has been successful. They retooled the team there. They brought in James Van Riemsdyk, Matt Niskanen. They've brought in good players that'll help the team. They've obviously had some players leave, but if you continue to bring in good players, you're going to be a good team. And they brought in Carter Hart, who is now looking like he's a promising young goalie. So they have retooled that team to be set for the future there. So, and that's something that the Blackhawks just haven't been able to do. They time and time again proved that they have messed up contract-wise. They have messed up in the draft. So you now look at John McDonough, who's been fired, and it doesn't seem like the business side of things is the reason the Blackhawks suck. Now, he could have been fired for a totally different reason other than the fact that the Blackhawks suck. But if I'm Rocky Wirtz, I'm sitting here reflecting on the fact that Stan Bowman was the one who gave out a $6.875 million contract to Brent Seabrook, or identical $10.5 million contracts to Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. That was not John McDonough. That was not the business side of things. So now you look, the Blackhawks have an opportunity to make themselves a good team again. You keep the business side the business side, and then you keep the hockey side the hockey side. I personally think that they should go and hire a president of hockey operations, and then you have a president of the organization which handles the business side of things, because they've held on to the one goal campaign for so long, and it's no longer one goal of winning the Stanley Cup. It's now that one goal of even trying to slide into the second wild card. So I'm not sure what Rocky was thinking when he fired John McDonough, but I personally believe it was the wrong decision if it was related to just the Blackhawks not playing very well. But something needs to change within the organization and the structure of the organization to be able to become a winning franchise again. Because from multiple sources, I've heard that John McDonough has interfered with Stan Bowman. At the beginning of the year, he made Stan Bowman call up Adam Boqvist. And what happens if Adam Boqvist comes up and loses his confidence, he's not playing well, and the team is not doing well? Then he gets pissed at Stan Bowman because he's not a good draft pick and all this crap. So there's just a lot of, like, uncertainty, I'd kind of say, around what the Blackhawks should do. But personally, I think that they need to keep the hockey side the hockey side, and they need to keep the business side the business side. Because John McDonough came in after 24 years with the Chicago Cubs, and baseball is a lot different from hockey. He's a baseball guy, but he's also a business guy, and that's the reason why Rocky Wirtz brought him in. So business needs to stay business, and hockey needs to stay hockey. So I just want to kind of hear your thoughts on this for a little bit, and then we can go ahead and kind of wrap this up.
No, I agree. I think the Bruins front office compared to the Blackhawks front office has, you know, arguably had a little more success in terms of, you know, managing that the business and hockey divide, where, you know, at the one hand, you want to manage your finances, you want to sign the right guys, but obviously on the other hand, you want to win, and you want to win soon. And I think that the Blackhawks have kind of struggled with kind of living in the past a bit with their financial decisions. And I think just now, you know, with McDonough, I think this kind of marks kind of like uncharted territory for the Blackhawks a little bit. They're in the middle of a big turnaround. And I think that it's kind of the tipping point for when they have to make a decision, you know, for where the direction of the team wants to go.
I agree. And now that McDonough's out and Stan Bowman is sitting there as the general manager, no longer with a set of eyes over his shoulder, it's possible that Stan Bowman can make this team a contender again. He could do the job he's wanted to do all along without eyes looking over his shoulder, without a mouth telling him what to do, who to call up, who to bring down, who to sign, which deals to give out, and all that. So Stan Bowman could make this team contender again. But something that comes up time and time again is Stan Bowman wasn't the one who made the Blackhawks a contender. Dale Tallon drafted Corey Crawford. He drafted Keith. He drafted Seabrook. He drafted Toews. He drafted Kane. All the work of the dynasty era and forming that core was Dale Tallon. It wasn't Stan Bowman. He kind of maintained it, kind of helped build around the core a little bit. You get a solid fourth line like that. You get Dave Bolin, Daniel Carcillo, Michael Frolik in there, Artemi Panarin a couple years later. He's kind of helped maintain it. But like I said, it wasn't the work of Stan Bowman that got the Blackhawks 3 Stanley Cups in 5 years. It just wasn't. It was Dale Tallon. And something that I think is going to be interesting is the decision Rocky is going to have to make with Stan Bowman. Because now that McDonough's out, is he going to stay the GM, or are they going to bring in a fresh new GM to take over. Not saying that Stan Bowman's going to get fired. He could even be promoted to the president's position. But could he bring in a fresh new outside person to run the Blackhawks? And I think that's kind of a question surrounding both positions right now. All right, so I think we can go ahead and wrap this up here, Ethan. I certainly appreciate you coming on the podcast. It was certainly fun having you. Yeah, it's a
great time.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, talking about the Bruins. Certainly fun to compare the two teams. So really do appreciate you coming on. So hopefully we can have you on again.
Yeah, I'd love to be on again. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming on. Bye. All right, guys, that was Ethan Kahn, a Bruins fan, came on the podcast, talked about the Bruins being able to stay dominant throughout the years and how the Blackhawks have not. I hope you guys enjoyed my first ever interview. That was fun for me. I hope it was fun for you guys. Hopefully we can have them on again when the Blackhawks play the Bruins. So that's going to go ahead and do it for this episode of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Once again, to get in touch with the podcast, visit the Instagram at chi-town.pod. Visit the Twitter at chi-town.pod. Visit the Gmail account or send me a Gmail at chi-town.hockeypod@gmail.com or visit my hockey-related Instagram account at Chi Blackhawks Talk. So once again, thank you all for listening to the Chi-Town Hockey Pod. I'm your host, Jake Golden, and I hope to see you guys in the next one.